Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I am Nikki Glaser. I am here in Los Angeles. I am joined by, in studio with me in my hotel room in Beverly Hills, my boyfriend. You've heard him on the show before. He's from the Courtney Show podcast and the Courtney Show in St. Louis. He was on Welcome Home, Nikki Glaser. It's my lover.
Oh, don't.
I love you, is all I'm saying. I don't I mean that in too. A sexual way.
Okay, yeah,
but
cool.
We do have sex with each other's bodies.
Nope.
Every day.
No.
Every day.
I know.
Not
it,
every
Anya.
Day.
And besties.
It's Chris Convy, everyone. Chris Convy. And then there's also Anya Marina is here. Welcome back to the show, Anya. Ooh,
and yes. We are lovers, and we have sex every day. Every day.
Yeah, every single day. And then Noah is also here. Hey, Noah. How's
Hello,
it going?
Hello, lovers.
Let's have sex. Part those balls with your nose.
No.
I told Chris about that, where Noah said that sometimes she likes to put her nose between the ball sack and part the each ball will fall upon each nostril. I've never tried
that's
it.
That's so sweet.
Maybe tonight, because we have sex every day. Every single day.
Nope.
Chris is not taking part in this. We are out here because I was at the, there's a lot of reasons. We were here for the Critics' Choice Awards, which was last night.
Did you guys see what Nikki wore? Did you see what she looked like? Did you see
Insane.
The pictures?
Insane. Cinderella come to life.
I love your face, Noah.
Okay.
Because that's exactly how I felt.
So, Nikki, on page 6, you are number 20 best dressed.
Whoa.
Number 20.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Were they ranking it? Like, are they saying best dressed?
Out of 70.
Like,
yeah, out of 70.
Oh, out of 70?
Holy smokes. That's good.
But they really are ranking it, or are they just like, there's 70 best dressed people in here? It's just a random, or is it a rank?
I think you're up there.
It looks like a rank, and you are number 20.
Who's ahead of me? Like, who's right ahead of me?
I'm guessing that who
Kathy
won like
Bates.
The lifetime.
Sorry, Kathy. I like her. Santa Clara University alum. Number one fan.
How do you know where she went to school?
Because I went there.
Oh, this podcast is misery to me. Kathy Bates. Okay, wait. Who's above me?
We'll tell you.
So right,
Aubrey Plaza. Let me just guess who is the best.
Janelle Monáe.
Janelle Monáe was
number one.
Oh, that was such a good dress.
It was crazy.
Your enthusiasm for it was
no
unnecessary.
Easy.
I mean, I whispered in Chris's ear like, "That's a dress," and then he went on and on. And I go, "You give him an inch."
Actor Glenn Powell.
After God,
your boy.
My boy. Okay, that's what did he play in Maverick?
The most tense moment Nikki and I have had in 10 years was when I said, "Hey, I'm going to go tell Glenn Powell
that
you want to say hi to him." And I was just totally joking because I was getting up to go say hi to a friend who was sitting next to him. And Nikki's like, "Don't do that." I was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to, but I'm going to." And then she was like, No, seriously, don't
please do not do that.
I was like, "Of course I'm not going to go tell Glenn, the most handsome guy there, that I can't wait to say something to him.
I was like, oh my God, what am I even going to say?
I was going to say hi because we used to see each other at the gym. We went to the same gym.
Yes.
Because we were chasing the same body. And he won.
He got there.
He got there first.
Sooner and remains there.
But yeah, he was there. He looked good.
He did look good. Not as good as you looked. I was even saying to him, saw Glenn Powell, who notoriously has been I was like, God, he's so attractive. Like, I was just very attracted to him when I saw him in Maverick.
You were into him.
Yeah.
Not
in a weird way. I was just like, to me, he stood out. Like, he's Theo James level of like, who's that? Like, there are sometimes actors that get you. You know I'm into Theo James.
Who is? I don't even know who that is.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, no. Oh, no. This is a thing.
He's your doppelganger.
No, I did not know that this was a thing for you.
What? Really? Okay, so Theo James. Oh, no.
I don't even know. That's Glenn Powell. It's the guy who Aubrey Plaza hangs, like, who's like, might be cheating.
Yes.
Okay,
yes. Well, I felt like you knew that for some reason.
No, I didn't know.
We've all hung out together so much in my dreams.
Goodbye.
We've spent so much time on, you know, road tripping and just banging. But this guy, Glenn Powell, the other day I was like, everyone on the podcast knows I've been really into Chris's new haircut and just been like, have a renaissance of horniness for a guy that I've been with for a really long time. In a way that you just are like this new, the other night you were talking, and I said this on the podcast, but you were talking to me about something logistic about like, and I just think, you know, a good goal for us would be to, you know, have a routine and, you know, we go to dinner. We have to, like, you were talking about something logistic.
Oh, like us living in LA.
Yeah, there was something like, and I just couldn't listen to you because I was like, I felt like the way, I'm sorry to say that this is a different way to feel than with your boyfriend, but you know, when you're dating someone new and you haven't kissed yet and you kind of are just like looking at their mouth a little bit, yes, and you're kind of like, oh my God, I can't, like, I think I'm gonna get to do this, but I don't know, like, where you're just, I started kind of looking at you like that, and I was like looking at your mouth like, God, this guy is so fucking hot. Like, it was so good. It was such a nice moment to have. But later that week I was online and I saw Glenn Powell and I saw a picture of him looking really hot because the algorithm can read my mind, and then they served it up. And I almost sent it to you because I knew that you knew I was into him, but I was gonna be like, he's got nothing on you. Like, well, I really felt that way. And then we saw him at this thing and I go, again, like, my guy is just, I'm so into this, my man's look right now.
It was, it's really nice to hear. You just really like me.
No,
and
that
so
is
that,
not true.
That sort of,
yeah, I guess that is like attraction can
your whole,
be
yeah,
from like how much intimacy you're having, yes, in your relationship. Like, sometimes you get more attracted to someone based on the conversations you're having and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anya and Noah, have you guys ever had any moment that kind of is reminiscent of the of the moment we had where he was like, I'm gonna go tell him you say hi, and I was like, please don't, and he's like, I'm just joking. Whoa, like, you think I would do that? Like, you don't know me. Does that because we have that sometimes of like these big misunderstandings where I'm like, you're joking and I think you're serious, and you're like, are we even a couple?
Yeah.
Because why would you even think
yes,
I would ever,
like,
do that?
I was like, why did you?
Yes.
I'm not going to, yes, like, ruin your, besmirch your good name to, like, a, you know, a guy
Nikki
who's
Glazer's
perfectly,
good name?
Perfectly, I'm sure he's a perfectly friendly guy.
What I stand for is not good, but my name itself, Nikki Glazer, is a cool name.
It is a good name.
It's almost as good as Vicky Seltzer.
Yeah, that's my stage name. Do you guys, does anything come to mind of moments like that where it's like, do you even know me? We're mad. Some maybe misconstrued something you said.
I can't think of that. I was thinking I've definitely had that moment where he either gets a haircut or there's something and I'm just like, I can't believe this guy with these biceps is my guy. Like, I've had,
yes,
that, but I can't think of a do you even know me, but I will. It's just not coming
but
to mind.
But you recall moments like that in your relationship where you've been together with this person for so long and they question something about you and you go, what? Well, is this our first
oh
date?
God.
Like,
yes.
And then you feel so misunderstood. Noah, you relate to that?
Yeah, it happens to us all the time. Like, Avi will say something in jest and I take it seriously. And then I like start like, wait, what do you mean the shirt's off? You know, and he's like, no, I'm just kidding. Don't you know my sense of humor? How long have we been together?
Yes. Do you have one to share?
No, I don't think so. But I will say that that moment last night was very quick, and you weren't, Nikki wasn't in the greatest headspace.
I was in a bad
for like hanging and laughing.
Okay,
and
tell
having
us
a great
all
time.
About
I,
it.
I went into it feeling so good. So this weekend we had such a great weekend. We were on the road, Albany, two shows Thursday and Friday, which is awesome because usually if I'm doing two shows, it's in one night, and we got to stay in one city for two nights. So not the best city to be in for two nights, but you know,
the filet mignon of the Upper East
Albany.
Coast.
Actually, it is beautiful, like the downtown area. But
your Portland was amazing.
Portland,
two sold out shows. Yeah. In one night, great meet and greets.
At a big ass theater. I mean, how many seats was it? 1,300 or 1,700?
State theater, yeah. 1,300 for two shows.
Yeah, two sold out shows in one night.
And you said they were really cool people, too.
And thank you. They were. Portland, Maine, I realized it. After the first show, I was like, these people are fucking get it on a level that, you know, there's been a few towns I've gone to. Santa Rosa, I remember, was a particularly great crowd. Seattle, particularly great crowd. Tulsa, Oklahoma City, where you just go, there's something else extra. Like they have a darkness to them that I don't have to ease into it. Like they're just ready to like do anal right away. You don't even have to lube them up. Like it's almost like they're already wet for it. Whereas some crowds, and I don't begrudge them this, I come from one, St. Louis, you need to ease in a little bit. Like, and that's fine. If you're not from those towns, don't feel like, oh, she thinks we don't get it. But Portland, Maine, they were just dirty, not dirty, but just dark right away. And then I thought about it and I go, that's where Stephen King is from. And Stephen King, if you really look into some of his stuff, I haven't read a lot of his work. Like, I haven't read any, really. I think I read Salem's Lot and then I started reading this other book. But I follow this subreddit called Books and they often get into his stuff. And he is the most twisted motherfucker there is. I mean, some of this, like, pedophilia, incest, like, really gross stuff that, I mean, I think even now people have tried to cancel him for stuff he wrote in the 70s because it's so dark and so twisted.
That's a good point about even the material you're doing right now, because I think you mentioned the word dirty. I think sometimes that's
dirty.
That's what people expect. But right now, what you're doing is darker than it is.
Yes.
Because it isn't just dealing with, you know,
anymore. I mean, there's some
that
of that
sex stuff. It's more. There's more like it's more dark than it is.
Yeah. There's been a couple.
It's new. It's cool.
It is. There'll be whole sets where I think I've mentioned this before, where I just go like, oh, I didn't really talk about sex at all. And that's kind of what people expect of me. And then when you get into it, you realize, oh, my God, sex jokes are such easy laughs, because it's not easy laughs. I've never said it was easy. It's easy for me because I enjoy talking about this stuff, and it's not hard for me to talk about my sex life, but it's in terms of getting laughs, it's easier. It's just a place to go where it's like guaranteed, because people love, and if I'm talking about something sexual, it's not well trod already, I don't think, because I'm usually talking about stuff that is just so out there. I mean, I'm not putting.
You're not doing it for effect. You are doing it because it's just a natural part of who you are. You're open. Yes. You're open and honest about things, and you're saying things that maybe other people wouldn't be willing to say.
Yes, and that is also why I just got into. I just did a. If you guys want to check it out, I'm going to be in this podcast called the Celebrity Book Memoir Club. I forget. I got to look up the name of it. It's Chelsea Alvarez's show. It's not Claire Parker. It's Chelsea Alvarez. But it's coming out tonight. And we covered the Harry book. And she usually only does female memoirs, but she made an exception for this one. And we did the Harry book. And I love it. Oh, Anya has it. Are you reading it?
We are reading it as a couple. Yes! Matt, I mean, not together.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know. I have a feeling.
I'm only 15 minutes in. I'm doing the audio. Matt's doing the actual book. He's not cheating. And I already get it. I'm already like, oh, I'm in. I get
it. Yes. Well, here's the thing that I just realized in doing this book club with her. I love this book so much because for the same reason people are hating this book, which is like, it's too overshare. They're like, we didn't need to know you that you had frostbite on your penis. We didn't need to know that you put a cream on it that your mom used to wear and that you smelled your mom in the room when you were putting a cream on your penis. And I love it because people do when you start to have those thoughts about this book of like, why did we need to know this? Because when you share little details where you go, I didn't need to know that, it builds trust with your audience to go, well, then they're not going to hide anything else. If they're giving me this little disgusting right. factoid, then I can trust them in other areas that they're not going to gloss over stuff. So that is why I really liked this book, because he talks about things that I've only heard comedians divulge on that level of specificity of, I think I said that wrong. Close. I think I put in it. Specificity. Listen, Andrew's not on the show anymore. Someone's got to pick up the slack. Charcuterie.
Sure.
Specificity.
Specificity.
Specificity. Specificity. Seriously, talk me through this so I'll never fuck it again. Fuck it up again.
Specificity. And then city.
Specificity. Yeah. Specificity. Okay, yes. Specificity. Okay, I'll never fuck it up again. See, I want to learn. So specificity that... Well, I didn't say that.
I did.
So I would like... so I just like that level of like overshare, because it just always reminds me, I said on the podcast too, that when people are ever asking me for like my worst heckle story, it's always just a girl going... ew after one of my jokes, and I go, oh really, ew, does no one ever come in you've never had tasted cum before? And she goes, I mean, yeah, but I wouldn't talk about it in front of people. And that was like the most shameful moment of my life, because she made a really good point of like, we don't need to know this, Nikki. And so I really like that he did that.
I like that you like, listen, I don't love every part of this,
yeah,
but I do appreciate that you do, that you are that way, because I think you and maybe, I haven't read the Harry book, maybe Harry in some ways have helped make people feel less alone. When people are that open and that honest about things, you know, other people are thinking some of the same things. Sometimes, yes. Not everybody is, but it makes those people feel a little bit less alone or a little bit less weird.
Like, shameful.
Yeah, less shame. And that's what I do appreciate about what you do, and I guess what old Harry did in this book is...
I call him H. Yeah. So you got to hear the audiobook for a little, because it's insane. He's like, the past is the past, but the past can't be
him.
Repeated because of the past.
Was the first... you already got through it, but the moment that I turned to Chris in bed, and I already said this on the podcast, I think, but I was like, oh, this is good, was the moment that he says... I bookmarked it. He said, I looked at Willie, really looked at him, maybe for the first time since we were boys. Now, this is at his grandfather's funeral.
Is he talking about his penis again?
No, but Willie is what they call penises in in England. And so this whole book, he calls him Willie. So it's pretty much, he hates his brother through this. Like, and his brother hates him too. Like,
that's sad.
It's not good. They'll never, ever speak again. I can almost guarantee.
No, and Anya, has any person have ever had a fall from grace? Like, physically looking, the way they look, like Prince William has?
You mean because of how he's aging?
Yes.
Oh, because of the balding?
Really?
Yeah, I don't mind
the
balding.
I thought he was attractive. But he gives him a little dig just in that part.
But this is it. I looked at Willie, really looked at him, maybe for the first time since we were boys. I took it all in, his familiar scowl, which had always been his default in dealings with me, his alarming baldness,
oh, brutal.
More advanced than my own, his famous resemblance to Mummy, which was fading with time, with age. In some ways, he was my mirror. In some ways, he was my opposite, my beloved brother, my arch nemesis. How had this happened? And so yes. That's when I go, the baldness, the alarming baldness, worse than my own. I was like, oh, this, let's buckle up, bitches. This is going to be good. And it is good the whole time. So leaving Portland, Maine at 4 o'clock in the morning to then get drive 2 hours to Boston and get on a flight to LA to land in LA at 11:45. And then I had to be at the red carpet by 3 o'clock. I was in great spirits because I didn't have to present an award. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to do any interviews. I was just there to dress up. I already knew I lost the award because they told me that they would tell me on Saturday if I won or not, and I didn't hurt.
And it's great to lose to Norm Macdonald.
I lost to Norm Macdonald, yes. Yes.
If you're going to, yeah.
Recipes, and that special to me was so fucking phenomenal. So yeah, I was more than happy to lose to him. There was no pressure on the day. I just get to be with my boyfriend. We get to go to this event. We get to look at celebrities. I get to dress up. I get to be with my hair and makeup team, my stylist. Everyone is so fun. I was like so excited. And I started to hear this voice in my head that was like, Nikki, you're projecting too much in tomorrow. I was texting Chris being like, I am so excited. I have no obligations. It's just going to be fun. It's just going to be the best day. And I was like, there's too many expectations. You are too excited about this. And the expectations were not high because it's just all we had to do was have a good time. And I was setting myself up. I had this voice in my head that said, Expectations are future resentment. And then I land, and we will finish the story when we get back from this break.
Ooh, great tease.
It's not the first time I've heard that from you. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, land in LA, go right to the hotel. My stylists are already here set up with the rack of clothing, and then my hair and makeup team is here all ready to go. Chris meets me in the valet with a fresh Starbucks that he got me. I mean, it was so nice.
Chris, you know
I'm so excited. Yeah, I get my hair and makeup done. We pick out the dress, which is gorgeous. I had tried it on before to maybe wear to the People's Choice Awards, and we deemed it to be like too award showy for the People's Choice Awards, which is more like fun and like kind of flirty and like pop, you know. But this is more regal. I was like, what other opportunity? Who knows if I'm ever going to be nominated again? Like, this is where you get to really dress Oscar glam, Critics' Choice Awards. And so I wore this like bustier, like it's like had a, what's it called? Yeah, bustier where they,
like a corset?
Corset top. And ba 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 booms, boobs out, spilling out the top, very Bridgerton. And then, and it's beautiful, and it's like, you know, you really got to suck into it, but it wasn't like deeply uncomfortable. The shoes definitely were, they were too small. They put my foot into it like a little wedge, but they were cute, but they were
to be fair, every shoe is too small.
That's a good point. My bunions, like even Crocs, I suffer slipping those in there. I mean, these were so painful, but it didn't matter because when your adrenaline's running, your feet don't hurt. I always say this, people always go, the boots you wear on stage, the heels. And I'm like, I don't feel my body is numb. Like, I'm having fun. I'm in the moment. I don't feel any pain. The second I stop, I step into the wings of the stage. I'm not even joking you. I will be on stage for an hour and a half, not one single pain in my foot. I won't even think about my feet. The second the foot enters a dark space where there's no spotlight, it starts screaming pain. It's such a psychological thing.
Yeah, like mentally.
And I rip them off my feet, and people always think, oh, you poor thing. And I go, no, they just started hurting literally 1 second ago. It's bizarre. So as soon as the adrenaline wore off of like getting into the car and I have to lay completely flat.
The way she, if you haven't seen her
I don't think
Instagram?
I posted it on my Instagram.
Oh, no. It's too funny.
I'll post it on the podcast Instagram.
It's so funny. Nikki had to do like a reverse crunch, leaning all the way back.
Yes.
For like 15 minutes
of the
car ride.
So it wouldn't wrinkle the dress because the dress was very wrinkleable. And then also the corset, I learned throughout the evening as I'm sitting down after the red carpet that never happened. We'll get to that in a second. I'm sitting the whole day. The boning within the piping, like the metal that's in the corset bent as I sat. So it bent and flipped up at the bottom. Oh, no. And then when I stood up again, it's just bent like this because I've been sitting all the, it was very smart of me not to do that in the car. So we get to the event. The red carpet closes at 3:30 is what we're told.
Yeah.
And I get there at 3:00. I mean, I could have gotten there at 3:25, and if it closed it, you can rush through the red carpet. I've done it before. And we get there, and the red carpet is closed, which it's not closed. There's a line. I see people in line to go to the red carpet, but we are being told you have to go downstairs to the basement. There is a step and repeat down there, which is like kind of the backdrop where people take pictures with. But I have to go. And I am about to cry because I'm telling you, this was a fun date for us. And there were a lot of reasons I went and decided to go. But if I would have been told that I would not get red carpet pictures, knowing what I know now, I still would have gone.
Just would have handled your whole day differently.
I would have. No, I don't think anything would have been different. I don't think I would have gone, actually, because the whole point of this is to get a red carpet photo so that you can put it on your Instagram and people can go, wow, Nikki's famous. And then they give you I hope you understand, the listeners listening, I know that all of this is bullshit, but you got to know that projects that you do don't matter. What you do doesn't matter in Hollywood. What you make rarely matters because not everyone watches everything. People watch like two things. It matters telling people that you're making things, telling people that you're doing things. They don't watch the Critics' Choice Awards, but they see an image of you there. So they go, she must be nominated. I once made a joke that I was filming a Super Bowl commercial. I wasn't. I thought it was a joke. People assumed I was in a Super Bowl commercial and thought that I had more value just because of the joke of me being in one. So this is like, it's all about getting that photo. And I spent, I'm going to say, out of $3,500 at least on this whole endeavor, not to mention waking up super early, flying all day, the stress of this. So $3,500. All for this, and then I get there, and they're like, there's a ring light downstairs, and a guy with his iPhone 8. And you go, okay, great. And I was about to cry. Like, you can see, besties know me too. Look at my face in these pictures. I am not happy.
You're defeated.
On camera.
No, even when like during the, though, you'd never
I,
know.
I look pretty, but I look sad pretty because I am
pretty
so
angry.
Yeah. I just was looking at pictures last night in bed with Chris, and I was like, I really couldn't fake it because I was trying to just be like, just look happy and like, let it go. Like, it's not that big of a deal. What are you crying about? Because you didn't get to do a red carpet. Oh, poor Nikki. I was really trying to be like, maybe if I did the red carpet, you know, me, I'm trying to be like, It was meant to be. I would have been shot on the red carpet, or so, like a lighting fixture would have fallen on my head and I would be, you know, mentally handicapped the rest of my life. I was trying to think of all the things I avoided by not doing the red carpet.
But that honestly didn't happen to anybody else up there.
You know, unfortunately, I was looking at some pretty women that I was like, oh, they could use a conk on the head.
Not that this is like an equivalent thing, but I always think, because of the radio show, and this doesn't really apply if you don't have like an outlet like your podcast, but every bad thing that happens to you is also a story that you get for your podcast.
Yes. But I feel like the story of me walking the red carpet would have been better than the story that I didn't get to. And
I agree. It's really just, I know it's just a silver lining.
No, it really does help. And Chris, you do help with that a lot of times because you have changed your outlook on your life because of your radio show. I can tell when bad things happen to you, or like, you can flip them and go, this is a good story.
It's a good radio story.
It's a good radio story. And just doing things. I mean, in general, going to this thing, which ended up being great. But the problem was, I was in a bad mood about the carpet. And then we sit down to go to the event. And beforehand, we're like in the area where there's like that shitty little red carpet thing in the basement. But everyone is there. There's Cold Stone Creamery, like has a setup for people to get ice cream. But we're seeing so many celebrities. Like I'm like, Seth Rogen, 8 o'clock, you know, who was the first people I saw when I got in there? Seth Rogen, I passed right away, and I was like, oh my God, Seth Rogen's here.
Well, I saw Giancarlo Esposito was there, which was kind of fun for me. He's in Breaking Bad and stuff. Oh, but then Johnny Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville Prepon, was there. Laura Prepon.
Who looked amazing.
Oh, my God, great. She's on the list, too. Behind you, way behind you.
She looked amazing. Well, we made a joke when we first went, because he didn't see her, and I go, Laura Prepon.
We don't need to really do this joke.
Yeah, I think it's funny, because you didn't know.
I didn't even see her.
He was just, you know, making a dumb pun, and he was like, yeah, more like post-pon or something. Like,
it was bad.
Just like about her age.
It's just for
like,
Nikki.
But he hadn't seen her. And then we get in, and he goes, oh, I had, holy shit. And I go, easy. Like, he goes, no, more like, Laura, what was your second joke?
Pre-com.
Couldn't call it. No, I didn't say that. Anya.
Thank you. She's a great example of someone who's embracing their pallor and doesn't need a spray tan. You always talk about, like, I need more examples of girls that are pale.
No, they're not like me, though. She's not like me. No, her skin is different than my skin tone. My skin tone has, like, a grayness to it, and you can see my veins underneath. Hers just looked porcelain. So does yours. So does Noah's.
Is there, like, I don't know about that. Is there a spray white? Like, can you spray yourself white? We should ask Dita Von Teese. Speaking of which,
a light color. Yeah.
I finished the Manson doc on HBO Max.
Oh my God. I told Anya to watch the Marilyn Manson documentary. It is wild that man is walking free. For anyone who and Kat Von D had a party for him. I mix up her and Dita. Is not associated with Marilyn Manson. Dita's in Bejeweled, the music video for Taylor Swift. So
Dita was married to him.
Yeah, she dated him.
Really?
They were married.
Oh my God. Well, she escaped. She's not co-signing anything he does now, because after you see that documentary, anyone who supports him, I think Kat Von D just had a birthday party for him. Disgusting. Do your research. He is a rapist. He's disgusting. I mean,
Rising, HBO Max. I only bring that up because you were talking about how sometimes when people give details of things like Harry and Spare, you believe it more. There's this one part where Evan Rachel Wood is talking about how she's trying to break free of him, and like he whipped her, trigger warning, with a whip from the Holocaust, because he collects Nazi paraphernalia. He whipped her many times with this kind of a whip. Like, that is a detail you don't just make up and pull out of thin air.
Right.
That is a believable detail.
He is a monster. Would you say, don't you think he belongs in prison?
Absolutely.
100%. I know. It's nuts that he's not. It's same with Armie Hammer. Like, get these men behind bars. They're awful.
Did you talk about hatchet wheeling?
Hitchhiker?
Hitchhiker.
Oh my God. It was fucking the worst fucking thing we've ever seen in our lives. I gotta say, the girls chat, which I talked about on this, everyone's looking for things to watch. They're like, girls, what do you recommend? And Carla was like, hatchet wielding hitchhiker, y'all. And then Kirsten even was like, oh my God, it's so good. And so Chris comes over the other night, I'm like, let's put on the hatchet wielding hitchhiker.
Oh man.
And we could not believe, it's a little bit of the, I think I would have hated it alone too. If I've watched it alone.
Oh, right. I'm wondering if we were both piling on together.
Yeah.
Or like you were embarrassed. And then I was like, this kind of stinks. And then we were just like, this is terrible.
Because I suggested it and said my friends had said it was good. I didn't say which ones. It was critically acclaimed.
What made it bad for you?
Did you see it?
No.
Oh, yeah. I told you not to. It is. I mean, can you say exactly what it was? Because it's a story that could have taken 15 minutes to tell.
Yeah, it should have been like one of those like 60 minute murder things with a narrator who was like really good and compelling. And instead, it was just a bunch of turkeys retelling the same sort of story and sort of just like overlapping each other for you know, an hour and 35 minutes. And, you know, nothing was all that compelling. It honestly could have been a 12-minute documentary where you just get the full story and you're like, man, I can't believe that
it
was a moment in time.
It just shows me how dumb they think we are. It was one of those times where I go, I wanted to turn it off. Almost got to the very end. They're and you're like, we got to watch the last 3 minutes. And I go, this has been disrespectful of our time the whole time. I don't want this. I don't want the numbers to say I finished this because
they're studying you.
You got to walk out of a movie if you think it's bad. You have to get your money back.
I didn't know. If I would have known that, I would have been like, oh yeah, definitely. Don't let the algorithm win.
Well, yeah, I don't want them to. I'm mad we even got that far. Yeah. But at that point, we were just like having fun making fun of how bad it was. Just nothing. It was like the Cecil Hotel documentary, which I found more compelling. I mean, that was a three-parter that should have been 13 minutes. Remember the girl in the elevator that saw, would do the weird things, drowns in the, yes, yes. That one's actually good. That's an interesting story. This wasn't that good of a story. And Carl's like, I don't want to spoil it. You haven't even gotten to this one part. And I got to the one part, I'm like, it wasn't that good. sorry, Carlo, but I really resented the time it took for my life. I resent right now even spending any time talking.
Oh, okay, sorry, my bad.
No. It was bad. Do not watch it, everyone. Or do watch it and let me know how much it sucked with me. What were you going to say, Anya?
Phoenix Rising could have been one part. It was two parts. They really like milked that. It was a little too long and lingering. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's
need to wrap
doing
these
that.
Things up. Or at least give the option, HBO Max, to speed up the speed. You know, at least do a Hulu for me. Or a
Does Hulu allow
Sorry,
you to do
Netflix.
One? Well, yeah. Netflix is kind like that. And you can get through it a little bit faster. But so then the People's Choice or the Critics' Choice Awards. There, it is star fucking studded.
It was insane in there.
It was. We chatted up Wells and Sarah Hyland. I ran into them again. Also hung out with them at the People's Choice Awards. They were nice to chat up. And then we took our seats at a table, and sitting next to us, because we could see on the table like people's name plates, was Matt Smith, which did not ring a bell to me, but he is a Game of Thrones guy.
Yeah, well, Game of Thrones
and The Crown,
Doctor Who, The Crown. He's had a huge year. He was in a movie with Jared Leto.
He's a big deal.
And the guy that was Chris for a second.
Yes, he looked like Chris. He looked like Rob Lowe.
He was the
Billy
coolest guy of the night.
From UTA. Bill, he was great to sit next to. He was hilarious. And the cameras thought we were a couple because at one point I was just leaning this way. My arm was like flush with his. He's a gay guy. I felt like comfortable with him. We were kind of like just broing down a little bit about.
He was awesome.
He was really cool. And yeah, they thought we were. They gave us a two shot. And Chris is in front of me. Chris was right next to Kate Blanchett. She was right
what?
In front of us.
It was insane.
He helped her with her chair when she came back after winning an award. He pulled out her chair.
Convy.
Yeah. Did she? Thank
gentlemen. Yeah, she like gave me like
a
smile
nod.
Look.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll kill her.
you guys gotta see Tar. It's a great film for a couple to watch and then
really?
We can discuss after. It's
why?
So good.
Is it gonna cause some tension? Are we gonna go?
No, it's fun to piece things together. There's a lot of clues in it and you're like, wait, ooh. Did you catch this thing there? Because that totally corresponds to this other important thing. So it's kind of fun.
I'll catch it.
Okay, would you watch Tar with
me? That's the thing about the Critics' Choice Awards. I wanted to watch all those movies.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh man.
Yeah,
I want to see that.
That's so great.
Yeah.
And Brendan Fraser was... I mean,
Brendan
he was
Fraser
so excited.
Is unwell. Sorry, everyone.
Really? Physically?
Physically he looks great. He's emotionally a broken man, and he's crying. Like, it's just, I'm sorry, you're actors, and you played a fat guy.
What?
I can't. Like, I don't care about.
Well,
if
I know nothing.
If you're gonna give, Austin Butler a pass for pretending,
I do give him a pass because I just do believe that when you. You know, portray a character.
Yes.
It can be in your DNA.
Well, then why can't that happen to Brendan Fraser? He played a broken man.
I actually made a joke that was like, why can't, you know, Brendan Fraser's not getting any shit for wheezing up there? Because I was like, is he still playing the fat character? Because he came up on stage and he was kind of like, and I was like, oh, he's doing, If you give Austin Butler shit for playing Elvis, he still like has a fat guy. And don't get mad and be like, you're fat shaming. Fat people are out of breath sometimes. So whatever. So I made that was a joke that I was kind of proud of to you that I whispered in your ear that I didn't think you got. Because it was a little bit, I mean, we're not even getting it now. No one should. But anyway, Brendan Fraser gets up there and he's like, he's out of breath because he ran up there. I mean, it was just a dumb joke. But I'm talking about his emotional state. I feel bad for him. He was sexually harassed in the industry. He was put out to pasture and he came back in with a couple performances recently, but he did the mummies and then we didn't hear from him and he was really like done.
And apparently he was the best green screen actor in Hollywood.
Time. Oh, wow.
Like nobody could react to things that weren't there.
Except weathermen with cold fronts and stuff. They're pretty impressive.
They are
so, but. And they're always acting like they're like kind of buddies with the sports guy. They're like, oh, God, shit. Like they're pretty good actors that they all act like they like each other. But Brendan Fraser just got up there and I think some people would be like, it was so moving. He gave such a moving. I found it completely unhinged. And that's fine. I'm also that way. Like I get put on the spot sometimes and I just show up as I am. And you can tell I'm going through a mental crisis. I think he needs all hands on deck. He is not well. I was watching a man up there win an award that I'm like, he's going through something. This is too much emotion in this moment. And it wasn't like the right kind. It made me feel awkward. I don't know. Maybe, did you not?
What did he cry about on
winning?
He won an award. I think it's the first award that he's won. Maybe now I'm kind of softening.
Really? Oh, that's a good point.
So you thought he was mentally unwell because he was weeping? Or was it weeping too much?
It was just too much. And you know I love a guy who cries. Yeah. It
wasn't that he was weeping. It was that he was so, like emotionally was...
He had no ability to pull in the emotions, which it just isn't the place for it. Sometimes, like, let that out on your own. Like, I never do I begrudge someone having their emotions. I love emotions and I'm jealous of people that can have them more openly. I just felt like this was unbridled and there was
I see.
It was just uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable and I rarely feel that way. I just thought
you were cynical about the whole night.
This is what happens to me at award shows now. I did it with the People's Choice too. And I said on this, I look around and I go, this is a middle school play. Everyone's playing dress up. All of these people just want to be loved. They all want eyes on them. Everyone's desperate for attention. None of this is really about like telling stories. And oh, everything's up. All they do is tell. I'm a storyteller. You're an actor. You want to be rich.
You
want to be
even
beloved because your mom and dad didn't like you enough. Like, stop this. I get it. You do tell a story with it. You didn't even write it exactly, Anya. Mike White is a storyteller. Jennifer Coolidge isn't. She's just a comedic actress. Like, yes, we can herald them, we can celebrate them, but stop acting like these people are heroes. So I'm getting depressed in real time in the room because I'm looking around and I'm just seeing, and I'm not above it. You all know that. I just told you I wanted to post on Instagram so people like me more. I play the game. But it just made me sad that all of these people, even Jeff Bridges is playing the game. You know, like he's a little bit more sincere. He got like a Lifetime Achievement Award. It made me sad because I look around me and I just see desperation from everyone and I see fakeness and I just see people having conversations with people they don't want to have. It made me not want to get up and go up to people and be like, I love your work, because I just was like, it's because I want something from this person. And this person's already giving people so much. Like, I don't need to go get a selfie with Jennifer Coolidge. Like, people just want because it's going to elevate them. And it made me... I don't know. I was kind of having an existential crisis. I think I have it in these moments because I also have the thing of, I'll admit it, I feel invisible. I'm like, I'm looking at Janelle Monáe and looking at when they're listing off her achievements. And I'm like, this 27-year-old girl has achieved more than whatever, however old she is. I'm guessing she's like late 20s, maybe early 30s. She's won Grammys. She's what she is. The way they talk about her, she's like, she's done so much. And I'm like,
yeah.
Even though I've done so much, I'm sitting in the room, I'm nominated. All I did was like walk on stage with a microphone and go like, this is why you should do anal sex. And I like had a little TED talk. And these people are like putting on performances and the lighting and like all the things that goes into these movies. And I'm like, I'm never going to be as cool as these people. It's kind of depressing me in that way. But also it was depressing me because I was like, I don't want to be, because I see how sad this all is and how the only person that actually... didn't seem to care to be there and was just like keeping it real.
He was the funniest person of the night.
And the funniest person of the night by far in his speech. Seth Rogen, that's a real person who just likes to make things, isn't trying to tell stories. He's not a storyteller. He's just trying to make funny stuff.
I don't mean to take anything away from what you're saying. I just have a different perspective on the night because I came at it from a different perspective. Nikki might have felt differently if her day didn't start out improperly.
So uncomfortable with this dress uncomfortable. When I was sitting. It was,
speaking
I was
of
in
wheezing
pain.
Men, Nikki sent us audio of the car driver who was supposed to take her from the hotel in Portland, Maine to the Boston airport. And she's like, listen to this poor man struggle with my bags. This is the audio of him after he got the bags into the car and it took him 10 minutes.
The guy, he really made a display of how annoying my bags were because he loaded them for like 20 minutes, two bags in his trunk, and kept taking them in and putting them back out. And I'm like, I wasn't even going to attempt to help him because
it
would have been
an Uber guy.
No,
was it an official?
Well, the official car service to pick me up, the girl was overslept. And so she called this guy to fill in. And then we met her at a truck stop. And then she got in the car and drove the rest of the way. It was so funny. At like 4 in the morning. It was crazy. So, I don't know. If I wouldn't have been deeply uncomfortable in my dress, I think, because at the end of it, I go, why am I in such a bad mood, Chris? Like, I don't get it. Like, why am I so sad about, like, I was sitting there falling into a deep depression during this thing. And I couldn't, and I go, it's because I'm in pain. Like, I was begging. Like, when I was at the People's Choice Awards, I was like, I can't wait for the after party. Because I was in this, like, nice dress that, like, breathed. And my shoes were, like, platform so they didn't hurt. Like, and I was in such pain. I was like, I hope there's not an after party. And it was because now I realize if anyone out there listening has chronic pain, it becomes so much a part of your life. You don't even notice what it is anymore. And you're just a bitch. Or a dick all the time because if you have anyone in your life that is just always a dick or a bitch, it's probably, and they have chronic pain, just know that it might just be that. Like it totally transforms your life.
I do just want to say about the Critics' Choice Awards, coming at it from a totally different perspective than Nikki, I did see a lot of reason that this type of thing, I have no love for I have zero celebrity worship in my bones. Mm-hmm. But I did love how much fun some of them were having. Henry Winkler was having his life.
Yes.
John Goodman was loving seeing Jeff Bridges get celebrated.
Yeah, there's earnest.
Julia Roberts was walking around having a good time.
Yeah.
You're totally dismissing my perspective.
No,
but it's
I'm not dismissing it at all.
There were people there that were having a blast with each other, saying hi to each other, and celebrating and having a good time.
We
and some
gotta
of those speeches
talk about
were great.
More of this because there's more to be said instead of me. And I just want to say I'm not comparing my corset to your mom's chronic arthritis. Please don't misconstrue those two. I understand the difference between my bunions being shoved into pretty heels and you being I have MS. I'm not comparing those two. I'm just saying it made me have a little empathy because I forgot about the pain I was in and I was such a bitch. And after this break, we're going to come back and talk about some of the more celebrity sightings we saw because it was a joyful night for celebrities and there was happiness happening all around us.
I thought so.
I was just wearing an invisible cloak of judgment and negativity, and I want to try to find some silver linings because we did see some good moments.
Yeah.
We'll talk about those right after this. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob.
At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we're at the Critics' Choice Awards, which were 3 hours long, and at one point they started shoving categories together. They were like Best Supporting Actor and Actress, and they like would give out two awards. They would name two people, and two people would come up. And the only person to call it out was Seth Rogen. When he got up to give his award, he goes, "Can I just say, why are they giving two awards out at the same time? Like, when did this start happening?" He's like, "Just make the show longer. This is on." He goes, "I know you can afford it. This is on the seat." He was like, "I know this can't be expensive television time. This is on the CW at 4 o'clock and he was like, "The CW, by the way, which is the only network that has no nominees this evening." he was like, "Just give yourselves one.
Just give yourselves one."
It was so funny. Again, calling out the obvious always makes me happy. Of like, and Seth Rogen, I have to say, is, I thought he was going to be like high, like, you know him, he's always like high and like kind of like having fun, but he was like, you could tell he was just kind of like been through a million of these. I was just kind of clocking him the entire evening, like, is he having fun? Oh, he seems to be in the same position I am. And then he got up on stage and he was hilarious, and Chelsea Handler was so funny.
Yeah,
I thought
great.
She looked great. She hosted it. Who were some other standouts? We were also seeing a table with the other Game of Thrones girl.
Wait, what other Game of Thrones girl?
Or maybe House of Dragons girl. I don't know. They all look British.
There was another table?
No, the young girl that was Millie Alcock.
Millie Alcock. Oh, I think you're saying it was at another table.
Oh, no,
aside
no, at our table. So we were at the HBO table.
Kate Foy was there, and she came over to talk to me. So we were sitting with Kate Foy.
Oh, Claire Foy.
Claire Foy.
Oh, yeah. She's
on the list, too.
Way Nikki was sitting almost right next to Matt Smith.
Yeah,
and
you're one away.
He seemed pretty cool. And then that Millie Alcock was there too, sitting next to him. And they were having a good time. And then Claire Foy came over and started clowning with them. They were laughing up a storm.
I have to say,
it's kind of fun.
A cool thing I noticed is that celebrities aren't that hot in person. It is really something about what film captures on them. Because a lot of these women, particularly, I'm like, that girl has an interesting face. Like, I'm like, she must be famous because I just recognize it. Like, someone like Claire Foy, she wasn't like breathtaking, even though I think on film, maybe I'm wrong.
She just looks normal. I mean, breathtaking.
Yeah, it's she like, how absolutely. Is her face like that? But in person, she just looked normal. Not like she didn't look beautiful, but she just looked. There was something about it that was like, oh, I just want to stare. I wanted to stare at her so bad because she just looked in like her face was just you were drawn to it. Julia Roberts looked stunning. Kate Blanchett looked so much like Anya. I couldn't even take it. Like she was getting her award and I go, Chris, she looks like, because I kept being like, who does she look like?
She's never looked better.
And she looked amazing. She was wearing a linen dress. Like a khaki linen dress. Brave. It looked like it was out of like,
that wrinkles.
Was so brave. But I feel like she's sitting not on her. I have a feeling that even the fabric linen was like, we can't wrinkle today, guys. This is, you can't do this on this woman, because she was just, there was just an air around her. I mean, we were sitting right next to her, so we were in the air. I could barely breathe. It was just like, was just a vibe.
I wonder how she smells.
I mean, 100%. Good. There's no way that she is ever like there was one. Someone made a joke that I have in my act. Was it Chelsea?
Yeah, I think she said something about water.
She was like, you know, something about this film is about honesty. And she was like, not the kind of honesty where women say that, oh, I've just been drinking more water. And you know that they're taking Ozempic, which is the diabetes medication that every woman in Hollywood is on. Let me repeat, if you ever see a picture of a woman who's suddenly thin or is just slightly more thin than they have been most of their career, they are on a diabetes medication that makes them shit and feel sick and puke all the time, but they look amazing. You will never look like them doing their exercise regimen, doing their skincare regimen, eating what they say they eat in Allure magazine. Follow me for 1 week. This is what I eat in a day. They're lying to you. Their exercise routine, it's not that they're taking a medication that makes them not want to eat. Okay, unless you get that, you won't look like them. Stop doing the regimens they're selling you. I'm telling you, everyone in Hollywood is on this medication. I'm looking into it. No, I will not take that. I mean, I wish I didn't have recovery from my eating disorder, or else I would be definitely trying to get it. But I will not ever take that stuff. Final thought: what were some other highlights of celebrities we saw? For me,
Well, I got to. Well, for me, it was like I got to see a guy I went to high school with win for Abbott Elementary.
That was
and it
cool.
was really cool because he was. They went up to accept the award, and he was in the bathroom, and had to name check him. So that was fun.
Yeah. Otherwise, he would have just been one of the suits in the background. But instead, they were like,
he had like a big moment.
What's his name?
Pat Schumacher.
Pat Schumacher. He's in the bathroom. That was a cool moment for him. I'm trying to think of like there were some other people that I was just like, oh my god, I can't believe
speeches really stand out.
The one woman who won for Abbott Elementary, who said, "I want you to pull in the camera." She was like, no matter who respects you, no matter, they may not like you, they may not respect you, they may not love you, they may never like you, but as long as you can look yourself in the mirror and love what you see, that is all that matters. And I was like, fuck,
she
like chills.
No.
Certainly not. Could you not tell from my impression?
That was a joke.
Kinta Brunson or something?
Yes.
She was amazing.
She's awesome.
That was good, Nikki. I feel inspired.
It was awesome. And I was like, that's what people need to hear, because all of, like, that was the one true moment of the night, which was like, it doesn't matter. There was a lot of that. A lot of black women, like Janelle Monáe being honored was incredible. And then Niecy Nash winning. Niecy Nash looked probably,
yeah,
she was
awesome.
The number
that
one for me, that dress and her figure. And like, she looked the best.
And she was great and excited and happy.
And she said, you know, I was told I was always a comedy, like the comedy world loved me. And then, you know, I always told my mom, like, Mom, I'm a dramatic actress. Like, don't you think I'm good at drama? And her mom was like, no. But she was like, you know, I always just, I think this sentiment was said a couple times from black actresses that were told, like, you don't fit in here. You're not. And I can only imagine being a black actress and coming up in the 90s, as a lot of these women did. A lot of them were character actors throughout the 90s and early 2000s. Only now has it become like, we need to embrace people of color in film, and we need to celebrate them and like push them forward. But it must have been fucking hell back then. Every single lead goes to a white thin girl, or you know, like every single one.
And then the other
one.
Roles were probably just like these these like token roles that weren't that cool.
Yes. And
I mean, it was cool. A celebration last night.
It was. It was actually like,
how did people treat you?
Invisible.
No, listen. Listen, Nikki wouldn't hear when
I'm
people
just telling you, no one cared.
And no one was like, Nikki Glaser, I love you.
No one.
Yes. Yes.
Critics several, were Chris. Several okay, people.
Nice. Let me ask Chris Convy.
Yeah.
Yes. Several people came up to, and that was one reason. Like, I was like, let's walk around. Let's go say hi to these people. Like, I love it when people celebrate Nikki, and we weren't giving many people an opportunity to do that.
At the table,
Nikki didn't get up once from the table
because my shoes hurt too much, and the dress was bent, so it would have looked like I had like a fucking
right,
a laptop peplum. Table coming out of my an airport. It looked like an airport table sticking out of my stomach, and so I couldn't get up.
And so Nikki was like, you know, you would have to walk by Nikki to know she was there, and you know, most people
I looked like I was waiting at the DMV. My face was just it wasn't a good look for me.
Mad people about came the up step to Nikki. In her feet.
Yeah. No, I was just mad. I was just sad. You know, like, I hate to say this. I got home and I told Chris, I'm so sorry that... No, we got in the car and I go, I'm sorry I couldn't rally. Like, there were multiple times. I don't know if listeners relate, but do you ever relate when you're like, you know the mood you're in is stupid. You know you're being a baby. You know that the circumstances do not... There's no reason for you to feel this way. Like, you should be happy, but you just can't get out of it. Like, I've really felt like stuck in
yes, in guck. Mud. Yeah.
Yeah, in mud. I couldn't get out of it. And I immediately had perspective as soon as I got in the car. And I go, I kind of squandered that by not, I knew I was squandering in the moment. I couldn't, I was so uncomfortable. And yes, people did come up to me. There was a lot of critics there because it was Critics' Choice Awards. So a lot of people that I've met on Zoom calls that have, you know, are on radio stations and do movie reviews. And I've interviewed me for F-Boy Island. A lot of people that I've only met on Zoom calls like came up and were like, oh, we've done. And it was really nice. But there was no like, there was, I didn't feel like a celebrity. I really felt like I was someone's date, which is not a bad thing to be. Chris Convy right here. I felt like I didn't belong there, even though I totally did because I was nominated. If I would have gotten to walk the red carpet, I think it would have had a more moment of like, I'm a part of this. But instead, I saw people walking the red carpet. I was told, it felt like you're not famous enough.
Right.
We aren't going to make an exception for you. Go to the basement. And I just, and that's so dumb. I should just have let it be able to let
so
it go.
Hard. So everybody knows how hard it is to rally, even when you know that you should, even in that moment. It's really hard. I was just sad because Nikki didn't give other people an opportunity to celebrate her because, you know, people were going up to each other talking about how much they loved each other. And
yeah,
Nikki was stuck
fest.
In a seat. Buried in, you know, like in between Jennifer Coolidge and Henry Winkler and Cate Blanchett.
Yeah, Jennifer Coolidge
Martin
was
McDonough.
There. Me and Jennifer were the only ones that didn't get up the whole time.
Yeah,
she sat down too. Cool. I kept looking to see if she got up, and I knew she didn't get up because she would have been hounded. But I was like, if she doesn't get up, I don't have to get up. And it was really about my shoes. They just hurt
I know,
too much.
But people did come up to Nikki and did go out of their way to tell Nikki how much they loved her and how great her dress
though?
Was.
Like, it was great. Shoes
anyone
can
memorable?
Like make you not want to walk to go get a Diet Coke. Like, they.
Yes.
It felt like putting my feet in bear traps.
Don't
is
they
like
have waiters?
What fashion? What?
Don't they have waiters?
They
to
did,
get you
and we got good food though too. There was good hummus and like
I don't know what
it
I
sounds
ate.
Sounds great.
But
it sounds
it
like a normal human
plates.
Woman.
Yeah, we stole off Matt Smith's plate when he got up, and then there was good ice cream that they passed around. Like, so I was having fun like eating my feelings and kind of just whispering. Little barbs here and there. But Julia Roberts looks stunning. She was right behind me at one point. Like, if I would have just knocked my head back, I would have hit her with my head. Like, yeah. She was right behind me. I felt like, I was like, please, I want her to bump into me just to say I like touched her. There was some other like really, really, James Cameron was
James
there.
Cameron was
Austin
there.
Butler was there, who by the way, I love Austin Butler. Chris did one of the funniest things over the weekend. I did play it for Anya. And can we just reference it? Anya, you heard it.
What?
So,
yeah.
Oh, on Chris's yes. radio show the other morning, they were talking about Austin Butler saying, like, you know, this Elvis voice, it's just, it's in my DNA. Like, I guess Mario Lopez called him out on the red carpet and was like, come on, man, like, the voice, you're still doing it? And he's like, you know, when you talk like this for 4 years for a part, like, it just becomes a part of your DNA. And I.
And women all over the country are buying it. This
No, not this, all of us. Yeah.
This handsome guy is trying yeah. to act like the coolest guy of all time. And everybody's right. like, totally makes sense. It's a part of his DNA.
I'm related to Elvis now.
Yeah. It's like, oh, a really good looking guy lowers his voice, which, by the way, everybody knows, like in studies, that if you want like people to respect you and like you and be attracted to you, you lower your voice.
Yeah, you just Elizabeth
and,
Holmes.
And so he did it, and it's working on everybody. Everybody's like, yeah, of course.
I'm enchanted by it.
Yeah.
And so I but
if your friend from high school goes to
wait for this whole analogy because it's good. So Chris is on this radio show and they're like, you know, I literally turned it off because I could hear Courtney was already like, this is bullshit. And I was like, no one is going to stand up for this guy. Because I am someone who morphs into people. If I am around Australians, I start like talking like this, like a little bit. Like, it's just, if you admire something, you like start talking like it. I really do think if I did a role and was in that character, I would walk away with part of it. So I relate. And I think that at this point he's been made fun of so much. Why wouldn't he go back to his normal voice? It's like, I guess he will slowly. But anyway, so I turned off because I didn't want to hear sometimes on their show if I have a dissenting. If they start like liking Brad Pitt, I just turn it off because I'm like, I hate Brad Pitt based on the abuse allegations that I've read about. And so I just turn it off and then turn it back on when they are talking about something I agree with because I can only echo chamber, you know. And so I turned it off and I just wrote to Chris, I'm team Butler. I think it's legit. Like, I think it's okay that he still talks like him. And then Chris later that night. We have this thing where so we're really into the show, I Think You Should Leave, Tim Robinson's show on Netflix, and there's this one
sketch. We're obsessed
with
it.
Obsessed. There's this one sketch where he is a folk singer in a band.
In like the 50s.
In the 50s, and the lead singer of the band is trying to get a record deal, and he plays this song, and they're like, we're just not looking for that kind of music. And he goes, oh, you're looking for something else? Okay, what about this? And he's like, he starts playing the song, and then the record exec is kind of like, whoa. And then Tim Robinson's character, who he's like the bassist in the background, the lead singer just goes like, follow my lead. And so he starts singing the song like about, it sounds like a Johnny Cash song.
It sounds like a Johnny Cash song. And from Tim Robinson's perspective, it's like he's making it up as he's going along.
Yeah, he's like, oh, the lead singer's making the song up. Like, let's make up a song together and like, wow, these execs. And then he just cuts in with like, he cuts in with a storyline that has nothing to do with the lead singer storyline about skeletons coming out of the graves because the bones are their money and worms are their
bones
are their
are
dollars.
Their money.
And so he just does this whole song where he's like, the bones are their money, the worms are their dollars. And that's like the melody of the song. You got to watch it to understand it. And even then, I don't think that you
will. Now I understand your t-shirt, by the way, because you
have the bones are their. Yes, that was a reference.
It takes 10. Listens to understand the nuances and how funny it is.
Honestly,
but it's the funniest thing I know
hated
about.
The sketch the first time I saw it, and then the second time I was like, this might be the most genius thing, and then I have watched it a million times. So the melody is
five.
The bones are like, and Anya's pretty like, Anya, like, you watching it five times means there's something there.
Yeah.
So the bones are their money, the worms are their dollar. And so Chris and I started having conversations where we would do it in that melody, but we realized it was only things that were like too hard to talk about in regular.
So Nikki would be like, maybe we should move in together.
I think that it's time. I feel like we can get a bigger place. I feel like it's a natural transition for us. I'm not saying we should get married.
But maybe get a bird.
And so... so we were laughing that's like a really good way for us to convey like heavier topics to each other because that song makes us laugh so much and it makes us feel safe. It's like our inside joke. So then Chris was like over the weekend, he goes, I have an idea just in the same line of like you and I, you know, communicate really heavy topics to each other with this like song. I think we should also be able to like be critical of one another using the Bill Burr voice. Of like, and we also send each other Bill Burr clips all the time. And so Chris, I go, and I wrote back to it, not wrote back, we were leaving voice memos, and I go, first of all, I'm really scared that you want to tell me something and you're gearing up to like confront me. Like, what do you need to criticize me about? I was so nervous. I was on the road. I was like, okay, I totally am into this. And it didn't sound like he was in a bad mood, like he was about to confront me. So I was like, what is the thing you need to be critical? And it was really sweet. You were like, first of all, I don't think there's anything to criticize about you at all. There's nothing to, I would never criticize you. I'm just saying it might be funny. And so he goes, I'm going to try to do it. I go, I would like to see you give an example of this.
But
so
when handling hard topics, it's like I could try to make a case for myself and be like, hey, Glaze, I know what you think about Austin Butler, but you have to consider these things. Or you could do it like Bill Burr and try to make like a perfect point with examples.
Can I play it?
Oh, I don't think we should do that. Do you?
I think it's really funny.
Yes. I didn't do a very good impression.
It's so
I've good. Never
hard
tried to please, to do a Bill Burr impression.
And this is insanely accurate.
I'm sorry, but like I don't think you understand. I would not air this if I thought it was lame at all, or if I thought it wasn't impressive.
And it's a great point.
I wish I had like 10.
It is a good point. Okay,
10
so
tries to get this right. Oh God.
So this is him gearing up for it. This is a cute part because let me just try this. It's adorable.
Okay.
I don't know if I have what it takes to do a Bill Burr impression.
And then here we go.
I don't know. Has anybody seen this kid, this Austin Butler kid, walking around? He thinks he's Elvis. Yeah, this kid, he played Elvis in a movie for a few years, and now he thinks he's Elvis. He walks around, he's like, act like Elvis. Women love it. They're eating this shit up.
Billy Freckles.
And then the next part.
I was talking to my wife. She's, you know, she thinks he's hot. You can tell. But she's like, leave the kid alone. You know, it's in his DNA now. He became Elvis. He had to become Elvis. And I'm like, you just admit it. You think he's hot. You think he's a hot kid. He's imitating the coolest guy in the last 80 years. You think he's hot. Just admit it. You mean to tell me that if Jessica Simpson moved to France for 6 months and comes back to America, starts talking about croissants, you'd hit the roof. You'd be like, this dumb cunt thinks she's from France?
You think
that it's because the kid's hot.
Wait, is there one more?
Yes.
Frank Oz. You know, you guys all know who Frank Oz is? This motherfucker played Yoda for 30 years. He was playing Yoda. You think he brought that shit back to his wife saying, dinner you should make?
Bill Burr, everybody.
Bill Burr. Wow. So I want to say Chris does not use the C word. He was just channeling that he even used it. He was like, oh my God, I said that?
I love Billy Freckles.
You really did a good job.
I feel like if I
and
had
the Yoda part really
8 years,
well,
I could do a better job.
You came up with that bit in 30 seconds. That was off the dome.
Yeah,
so
that was pretty quick.
Really impressive to me. As a comedian, I was like, that's a fully formed bit that you could present that to him and he would do that bit.
I'm sweating like you wouldn't believe.
Well, you
right
nailed
now.
It.
I don't
I'm
like
so
this at all.
I was so
hot.
Well, hot. He's burning up, you guys.
The way he says hot as Bill Burr.
Hot. You think he's a hot guy. Yeah. He was so good. But I afterwards was like, I've never loved you more. Like that was so funny and so thought out. And was just like, it was a side of you that I had not seen. I've seen you do impressions and they always blow me away. But like, I know what that like that was so
I've
vulnerable.
Never done them for,
it
for
was
anybody
vulnerable.
But you.
It was so sweet.
Oh,
I loved
God,
it.
I'm on fire.
Thank
apologies
you for being
to
here
Bill
thank
Burr
you
fans.
For letting me use that clip. Okay, yeah. I really appreciate it. I know it was supposed to be just for me and now
we
here it is for
the
everyone.
Best Burr I've heard honestly.
Oh,
Billy Freckles.
Yes. Wait, what does he say to
he says for the guys and the ladies.
Yeah, he always does that. We used to listen to his podcast a lot. You're the best. Thank you for being here, Chris. Thank you, Anya. Thank you, Noah. Thank you to the listener. We have dates coming up. Kalamazoo
Besties.
This weekend. And then where are we on Saturday? It's Kalamazoo in Joliet, Illinois. So that is close to Chicago. So close-ish. So 53 minutes away, I think, driving from downtown Chicago. So
can I say shout out to the besties? Because I've met a bunch New Year's and and beyond, and some of them have started listening to the radio show. But they are the nicest people.
Yeah,
going.
People
that are going to your shows are so nice.
I met some this weekend, and one girl cried, and it was so sweet, and it just meant so much to me. Like I have said it before, but I can always tell when it's a bestie in line. Like you just like there's a different vibe, and I truly feel like we're friends, and you guys know that, and I love you guys so much. So thank you for listening to the podcast, and thank you for loving my friends and my boyfriend. And just, and putting up with me complaining about having this amazing life where I get to go to the Critics' Choice Awards and all I do is bitch about it the whole time. Like, who am I? But I was just uncomfortable in my pretty $1,000 dress. Probably more than that. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the podcast. Don't be cut and jackpot.
Jamil.
Oh, that's good. I just did our podcast.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.